Welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Always glad to be with you. McElroy not with us today. He will be back. Everything is okay. And even though people are calling in to try to talk to him, he is not here.
Right.
So just so you know. Have you ever called a radio show that you weren't listening to?
No. Can't say that I have. Can't say that I have.
Now that I think about it over the years, I've had some folks that it's pretty apparent when what they called in to talk about that they you don't think about the fact that someone would call your show and attempt to get on the air and not be listening.
Yeah, you're right. Just
but we get that every now and then. You know, we get in a deep dive into the Alabama offensive line and somebody calls in. Why has David Shaw not figured this thing out?
I could tell you.
I mean, I guess we can go there, but that wasn't really next on the topic line. But okay. South Carolina wide receiver Ortre Smith has entered the NCAA transfer portal. He's a big physical receiver. Now, been a little banged up. Hasn't been as productive consistently as you would have thought, but he has made some plays. I mean, he's done some nice things. And he'll be a graduate transfer, so he can be eligible somewhere immediately. And a guy that might be able to go help if you need a big body receiver, especially if you can keep him healthy. Somebody who might be able to help a team next year. So we'll see how that plays out. If you're looking to see a little bit better like I was 20 years ago, I got a consultation with Dr. Mark Michelson. Found out I was a candidate for the LASIK procedure. Went and had it done. Dr. Mark Michelson performed it because he was the first surgeon to perform the LASIK procedure in the state of Alabama. I thought, well, that's a no-brainer. It's got to be the guy that you go see. And over 20 years later, I still like my vision is still perfect. You can set up your free consultation today, 205-969-8100, or visit MichelsonLaserVision.com. Nearsightedness, farsightedness, astigmatism, cataracts, Dr. Mark Michelson and Dr. Jennifer Michelson can help with a variety of issues that you may be dealing with. And, of course, that LASIK procedure, if you're tired of dealing with the glasses, the cases, the contacts, the solution, all of that, like I was, you could have the LASIK procedure and be back to your normal daily activities in 24 hours. There are free screenings and consultations available with no obligation, and a variety of easy and affordable payment plans available. Doctors Mark and Jennifer Michelson, members of our community, they've been rooted here in Birmingham and dedicated their practice to serving the people of Alabama. So if you feel like you might be a candidate for the LASIK procedure, visit MichelsonLaserVision.com today or call 205-969-8100 for a free consultation. For a full review of LASIK risks, complications, and side effects, visit FDA.gov or seewithlasik.com. Staying with the top 25 for just a moment. There's a team that's out that I feel like we need to have a little bit of a discussion about. The Clemson Tigers are out of the AP top 25.
Not little old Clemson.
Little old Clemson.
Not little old Clemson.
They are out of the AP top 25.
Mm.
Now, they did win over the weekend.
Mm.
They managed a touchdown and four field goals against Boston College.
Against who?
BC.
Ah.
Boston College. Which Coach Halfley's doing a nice job.
He's doing a great job.
I mean, it's nothing to be ashamed of playing a competitive game against Boston College, but I think some other teams maybe under Clemson outperforming them, and therefore Clemson has been bumped out of the AP top 25. This has not happened in quite some time. October 5th, 2014 was the last time Clemson was not in the AP top 25. October 5th, 2014. Yes, to the day.
Wow.
Was the last time Clemson was not in the AP top 25. That was 107 straight weeks being ranked in the AP top 25.
Mm.
Now, there are some things that I wonder, because we had a good conversation a little bit earlier in the show. When a caller asked about Dan Mullen, Ed Orgeron, loosely comparing them to Nick Saban, saying they haven't done some things that he's done as far as trying to adapt, trying to move forward, trying to be different. I wonder, are there some things that Dabo is going to potentially have to change, and will he? Dabo does not take players out of the portal. Clemson has a pretty stringent policy as it pertains to committing when getting an offer, and they don't really go back and forth on that. And the emphasis on the line of scrimmage, at least on offense, has not been there. There are multiple things that I think about with Dabo and his program and how it's managed and what it is, and will it continue to change? Because he's been able to keep a lot of staff continuity. He's been able to recruit at a high level. But you just wonder, are some of those other things allowing teams to gain a little bit of an advantage? They've done it with elite quarterback play. Well, other schools have now begun to put an emphasis on elite quarterback play. And not finding one, but basically loading the roster with them.
Yep.
I mean, look at Alabama's quarterback room the last couple of years. Yep. Look at some of the Georgia quarterback rooms that we've seen. And not even the ones that were – include the ones that went and did things somewhere else. Look at Florida's quarterback room over the last few years. Look at some of the A&M quarterback rooms the last few years. I mean, the guys, Oklahoma quarterback rooms. Other teams are going out of their way to stockpile elite quarterback talent because they've seen that that's going to go a long way in potentially winning a national championship. So what maybe will morph or change with Clemson? I don't know if it does. I don't know if it just changes. I don't know if they just figure it out. I don't know if you can just keep doing what you're doing. Offensively, your quarterback looks lost. He does not have confidence. He does not look like he has a lot of wherewithal as far as where's the ball going. And that's a little scary because I think this is a guy that we thought was just going to be inserted into the lineup and was going to shred college football.
Next man up.
And that has not happened.
Not even close.
DJ Uiagalelei, Damian, has thrown for 200 yards one time this season. One time this season. Now, I say that because he has not gone past that. He has not thrown for 300.
No.
I'm saying that because in four games, he's thrown for under 200 yards. Three touchdowns, three interceptions. Nobody's going to be mad about what you did against Georgia.
No.
But 171 for 1-1 against South Carolina State, or 126 without a touchdown against Georgia Tech, or 111 for 2-1 against North Carolina State, or 207 with no touchdowns against BC, completing 46% of your
passes. I can't hear you. Say that one more time.
Well, actually, the last two games he's completed 46%.
Under 50.
46% the last two games.
Goodness gracious.
46. 12-26 and 13-28.
That just sounds bad. This is.
Now, I'm not making a direct comparison, but you don't need to tell people around here very much about guy who's inserted for other guy that could not play and has really good game and then becomes regular starter next year and is not that guy. We've seen that movie. I'm not saying this is the sequel to that movie,
but
I'm just saying there are a lot of ripoff movies of other movies. Hunger Games ripped off Running Man. Like, there are a lot of other, like Ted Lasso ripped off Major League. Like, there are a lot of ripoffs that happen. You can make them your own, and that's fine, and they're a little bit different.
Right.
And they can still be good or still be the same, but I don't know if this is the same or if it's going to get better or what, but there are a lot of folks around here that have seen that show.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen that play. We've seen that drama. We saw that and how it goes. So, there are just a lot of things that don't seem to be adding up. It's okay to have a down year. It's okay for things to just not work out. But what do you do other than just say, we got to get better. We got to block better. We got to tackle better. We got to play better at quarterback. We can't turn it over. Those common football phrases don't always work in resurrecting things when they're bad. It's just not how it goes. So that to me right now, the rest of this season is, I know a lot of people look at it and say, they're not getting to the playoffs, so I really don't care. But I'm very intrigued to see how things begin to change for that program for the rest of this year. And I'm not saying that, listen, you can say, is the dynasty dead? I don't really know what that conversation is because dynasty would mean you're winning or competing for a title every year. They're not going to do that this year, so this dynasty is over.
No, over.
They want to start a new one next year, have at it.
That's it.
And we, 22, 24, 28, we can talk about that then. But this one has stopped. They hit a roadblock, it's over. U-turn, go find a gas station, refuel.
It's a wrap.
And, hit the alternate route on Waze and find another way to go, because that's just kind of the way it is. So we'll see how it plays out for them the rest of this year, as a lot of things happening with Clemson, but they are out of the AP Top 25 for the first time since October 5th, 2014. 107 straight weeks they were in. So we're talking different teams, different conferences inside the AP Top 25, outside the AP Top 25. 34 losses by ranked teams through 5 weeks. That's the most since the AP poll started in the late 30s. Jeremiah in Pinson wants to chime in. Welcome into the show, Jeremiah.
Hey, War Eagle, Cole.
War Eagle.
Roll Tide, Greg. Roll Tide.
He's not here.
Forward, ever.
What's that?
I said forward, whatever. It's Birmingham Southern. Greg is unavailable right now, so I didn't know what to say back, so y'all just say forward.
Oh, okay. Go Panthers.
Attaboy.
I was just checking on wanted a couple opinions on the offensive line at Auburn and the quarterback situation from Greg at Alabama. I appreciate you.
Sure. Thanks, Jeremiah.
No problem.
I'm gonna speak for Greg. Normally, I wouldn't do that. I would let him share his opinion and just let him give you that. As far as it pertains to the quarterback situation at Alabama, it's in pretty good hands. Things are above average right now. We've seen the light at the end of the tunnel with it.
Yeah,
and the sun will rise, because Bryce Young is completing 73% of his passes for 17 touchdowns and 2 picks.
Yep. Sounds
1,367 yards.
Sounds. I think that's the same thing Greg would say.
I don't know if it would be right on but it's in along, line with that, but I think it'd be close.
Along those lines.
Yeah, I think it'd be somewhere near that. Bryce Young, fourth in the country in quarterback rating. Only Grayson McCall. Kenny Pickett, by the way, a guy we should probably start talking about. 19-1 on the year. 19-1.
Oh.
And that's touchdowns to interceptions, by the way. 19-1. Kenny Pickett is ripping it right now.
Take care of business.
Malik Willis, who unfortunately we just saw right down the street over the weekend, and then Bryce Young. If you're talking about quarterback rating, that's where he is. So it's in good hands right there in Tuscaloosa.
Absolutely.
So I don't know how much more of the quarterback situation needs to be explained.
Didn't know there was one.
But, that's how I got it. What was the Auburn question?
Offensive line, of course.
Still not great. All right, and we'll move on to Mark and Pelham. Welcome into the show, Mark.
Yeah, I feel like we've been talking about Kenny Pickett since he was Dan Marino's backup. He's
been a while.
He's been about a 10th year senior. I feel like he's been there forever. But, yeah, he is having a phenomenal year. I think something, Cole, that we've been harping on this since the offseason, that if we were ever going to get Clemson and Ohio State, and we threw Bama in there too since it was a first-year starter, but if you're ever going to get those teams, that this is the year, and it's looking like that is very, very, very evidently true. To piggyback on what you were just saying about the rest of this year, around here we may not care, but for Clemson, this is uber, uber, ultra important the rest of the year. I'm going to give you a little example. 2 years ago, when Bama lost to Auburn, that 48-45 game where Mack came in when Tua got hurt, it would have been easy to pack it in. It would have been easy for guys to sit out the bowl game. It would have been easy to have a really lackluster performance, like Bama's had in a few of the bowl games in the past that didn't matter. But I believe the springboard into last year for Bama was that Michigan game in the Citrus Bowl. It was how dominant they were. It was kind of bringing back the aura of the, we're not letting this one loss, or the we're not playing for the championship this year, but we still are in the thick of this dynasty. We're not going to let it roll off the training tracks here. And I think that win and the way they finished that year was such a resounding springboard into the next year. And then this year, and then I just believe that once it gets off the rails, it is so hard to get it back on. And that's why I think the rest of this year for Clemson, we may not, like I said, it may go under noticed. It may not be something that's national news. If they were to flop the rest of this year since they're already, you know, out of the top 25. But I think it is for them to stay on par with Bama and Georgia and Ohio State and Oklahoma and all that. I think it is very important that they end the year on a strong note, because if not, this is how those dynasties do die. And once they're done, look at Nebraska. They're done.
I think it's harder now to turn that thing around than ever before, because the transfer portal, guys can leave. Obviously, so many kids can get out of your program. And then, and we just mentioned this with Clemson, they don't take guys from the portal right now. So you're making it even harder on yourself. But even if you do, it's not always going to be a great fit from a personality standpoint, fitting into the culture, obviously having an understanding of how different things are going to operate in and out of the program. So
this is where the culture of the program and coaching and the things that are not
expectation.
Yeah, this is huge for them. I'm telling you, because if this year ends on the slope that it's on right now, I mean, they can easily be done as far as that top three or four national power. It's that easy to fall off the rails.
I'm with you, and that's why I'm with you, Mark. Why I think, thanks for the call, that this is very interesting. The rest of this year, I mean, they're at Syracuse on October the 15th. It's their next game. And Syracuse, by the way, top 15 defense in the country right now. Then you're at Pitt. We just talked about Kenny Pickett and how he's lighting it up. Now, they don't have an amazing resume and how they lost to Western Michigan. I don't know. Western Michigan's actually having a pretty good year. But, I mean, that's, you know, that Pitt's playing pretty good ball. Florida State at Louisville. I mean, they're going to get Florida State. They get UConn.
They get who?
UConn.
Ah,
they'll get that one.
They'll get that one. Maybe you throw for 300.
And by the way, Wake's playing good ball. They get Wake.
Yes.
And then they end at South Carolina, which is a team that they should beat. So maybe that's the scary part of it, is that because of what's in front of them, if they don't essentially dominate and run the rest of the table and find a way to put a good season together and have, you know, finish with a two-loss team to get into a decent bowl game, maybe even still compete for a conference title. I don't know. But, you know, you're way behind in the standings compared to where you've been in a very long time.
Not even close.
Very long time. I mean, you've essentially allowed Wake to have a two-game lead on you. Wake at 3-0, Clemson at 2-1 in conference, and they're going to have to play.
They're chasing.
So, I just think it's going to be intriguing to watch what Clemson can do the rest of the year and how they're going to sort of formulate things, how they're going to put things together. What does Dabo do? What does he change? What does he maybe try to change a little bit as far as how he manages and runs the program? We don't know. We'll see. Can DJ sort of figure things out? Because that part has not been there. Quarterback play has not been there. And you can say, well, it's offensive line, which is a problem. I'm not going to sit there and tell you that offensive line play is not a problem there. It's actually, in my opinion, been that way for a while. And I told you last year they were 11th in rushing in the conference, and that was with Travis Etienne. Well, this year they're 12th. 12th in the ACC in rushing. Only Virginia and Virginia Tech rush for fewer yards per game than Clemson does right now.
And Virginia.
In the ACC, not nationally, in the ACC.
Virginia's just throwing that thing around. So
everywhere.
Like they care less about the run.
All over the place.
Phew.
Now they play no defense. None. They do not play defense, but
it's optional.
Brendan Armstrong can sling it. And I mean, he'll hit 2,000 yards passing this weekend. So, and that'll be the halfway point of the season. He's having a great year. So it's just, when you look at the top 25, who should be in, who should be out, where are we as far as teams that are sitting towards the top, near the top, who's in a good spot as we move forward, and then who might be in your college football playoff if it started today? I mean, I think that's the question that I look at, Damien, and I don't know if I have the answers. Because I like Iowa. I like this Iowa team. But you start putting them next to some of the other teams we're talking about, mainly Clemson, Alabama. I don't know how they fit in there. There's a lot. I'm going to tell you, if you haven't watched Desmond Ridder, you need to watch him.
Yeah.
He's really good.
He's good.
And I think Cincinnati's defense is super aggressive. I think they attack. I think they play fundamentally sound. Offensive line's okay. They got some decent skill. But can Oklahoma hit that switch like you talked about earlier? Is Ohio State sort of lurking in the exact spot that they need to be to find a way to turn it on and then make a run? See, I just don't think you have a team that can't fit the run and can't tackle well that all of a sudden in week 7 or 8, they say, you know what? We got this tackling thing figured out. Give me the last team that you saw that was a terrible tackling team through X amount of weeks that at X week figured it out. And you said, by God, they can tackle now.
Nah.
I've never seen that in my life. And and going back about 6-8 years ago, we saw some very poor tackling Auburn football defenses before Kevin Steele arrived. And you didn't get to week 10, and all of a sudden they start getting guys to the ground. It just doesn't happen
it doesn't
that
happen
way.
It, no.
Because once you get in season, you're not working on tackling. You work on the fundamentals of it, but you're not taking guys to the ground.
Nope.
I forget what year it was. There was some coach somewhere. I think it was Dan Mullen when he was at Mississippi State, and he said something like, we don't go full speed in season. And some member of the media just lost. I couldn't believe it. They were writing articles about Dan Mullen doesn't practice in full pads during the season. Like, Dan Mullen doesn't hit during the season. Have you guys talked about this ever?
Right.
So you're it's hard to get good at tackling once the season begins because you just can't beat your guys up. And the only reps you get are in the game when it comes to taking guys to the ground. Nobody takes people to the ground during the season.
No.
Actually, under Tommy Tuberville, I'll tell you this, I'll share this story with you.
Uh-oh.
Tuberville's first year, we get to a bye week, and we are just beat up. I mean, guys, training room, injuries, lost guys. And it was a bye week going into Arkansas. And we get there. You play Saturday, and then with an off week, you usually just get Sunday, Monday off. Like, that's just a done deal. We come in, look at the schedule for Tuesday. A hard practice, a Wednesday, Tuesday practice would be 21 to 24 periods. We had Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 24, 24, 24 full pads.
Oh, during a bye week.
And when you see full in a bye week, you know you're about to hit and you're about to take guys to the ground. We literally scrimmaged for about 8 periods. I'm talking ones versus ones.
Oh, my God.
Full speed. And that was when they thought Don Timmons was our answer at tailback.
Yeah.
There's a lot wrong with that year.
Yeah. Like, during the bye week, scrimmaging. Yeah. Yeah. Not much on the recovery aspect, though.
No, nothing on the recovery aspect. If anything, we felt worse going into the Arkansas game than we did coming out of the bye week just because we were so beat up.
Oh.
Speaking of being beat up, there is a very prominent player on a very prominent team that we don't know exactly what his status is for a very important game. We'll update it and talk about it next right here on McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. Fitting that we have Cecil Hurd coming up in a few minutes as this leads us back into the next segment of the show at 8:29, Tuesday, October the 5th. We mentioned that a prominent player on a prominent team has gone down. Nick Saban updating the media on the status of Jace McClellan yesterday at his press conference.
Yeah, Jace has got a knee. He'll be out for the year. He's going to have surgery tomorrow. So he's out.
So Jace McClellan out for the rest of the year and will not be available in that Alabama backfield. Not hated for him because we had seen him do some really nice things this year. And obviously it's a crowded backfield. But when he had gotten in games, he obviously had looked like a guy that could help that football team and was going to be able to be a heavy contributor. 12 for 97 against Southern Miss. Looked really good there. We were on the sideline for that game, being able to see him. And obviously, you knew he wasn't going to be the guy that was going to get 25, 35 carries a game, but could definitely help that football team. And hate to see him go down with a season-ending injury. ACL reconstruction is obviously a lot easier process than it was 15, 20 years ago. But hope that he can get back, be healthy, and be able to help football team there in Tuscaloosa in the near future, because don't have to worry about running back this year, but you're going to have some guys that are going to be moving on, and obviously he'll have a chance to play and do some different things as things progress. Cecil Hurt of the Tuscaloosa News, at Cecil Hurt. Follow him on Twitter, joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Cecil, it's great to catch up. This Jace McClellan injury, that doesn't really change the way you feel about the Alabama offense, does it?
It does a little bit, because he did so many things for him. I mean, they got guys that can step up. But, you know, he's playing special teams, which that's – you've got young tight ends, young linebackers, young safeties that can fill in there. And running back, as long as Roy Dell keeps the ball secure, he's a good change of pace for Brian. So they're okay there. But he was such a good receiver out of the backfield, and I don't know that Roy Dell has that. I don't know Bryce was comfortable with that. So that's going to be tough to replace. And you don't know how well guys protect, or I don't usually see how they are at blitz pickup and so forth.
Cecil Hurt of the Tuscaloosa News joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. You mentioned receiving, and obviously Jaleel Billingsley has found his way out of Nick Saban's doghouse. He's become an integral part of this offense the last 2 weeks,
right,
after not seeing a ton of him early. How do you think that he progresses as far as the rest of the season? Does he continue to be, or can he be an even bigger part of the Alabama offense?
He can be. I mean, I think, you know, I'm not an analyst on this. I think he can be a first rounder. I mean, he's got the size, got the speed, got the athletic ability if everything off the field is straight. I mean, I think that's putting an NFL first rounder. That's the Alabama joke, you know, that you've got the first round guy standing around on the sideline waiting to get in. And I think he works well with Latou. So I think that those tight ends, again, you'll miss Jace coming out of the backfield, but I think that you'll really see those tight ends. I know New England did the same thing, or is doing the same thing with Mack, you know, where they have Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith and really trying to build an offense that way.
Cecil, when you think of what Bill O'Brien has done already with this offense and how it's progressed, do you feel like it's where they want it to be? And what parts do you feel like they want to extend and continue to grow offensively as this season moves on?
Well, I don't know where you want it to be. That's tough. You always want to be better. They want at least one more of the young receivers, wide receivers, to step up, whether it's Earl or Holden, and sort of give Mechie a complimentary receiver there, something, maybe one of the guys that has deep ball ability the way Jameson Williams does. So I think they'd like to see that. The offensive line, as you know, better than anybody, it's improving. It was better this week against Ole Miss, but it's not perfect. So you still got some guys that need to step up. Nick wouldn't say, I tried to get Nick to single out a couple of guys yesterday in the press conference. He wouldn't do it. you know, I mean, my analysis, this is my level of analysis. So Evan Neal's going to do okay. He'll be fine. You know, but the other guys have mix and matched and are playing better. And it'll be interesting to see. A&M will be a good test for them.
Absolutely. That's a pretty good front that they'll face. Cecil Hurt of the Tuscaloosa News joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Cecil, I'm interested in what you thought last week leading into this game of Lane Kiffin, because you covered him. You've had conversations with him as a part of that Alabama program, and then you've sort of seen it a little bit from a distance. But obviously, not necessarily what he did pregame, because I don't think you were watching the game at that point, but I know you've gone back and be able to see it. And then just it all felt a little extra through social media and in the media last week. What did you make of that, And what do you make of what happened just as far as him being the head coach at Ole Miss, the way that game went down Saturday?
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I think that it was a little bit extra. And I think Lane made every appearance he could make, you know, and talked to everybody he could talk to. So he wanted it to be a little extra. And I think, you know, knowing Lane, he was confident. He thinks that he can, you know, thought that he had things figured out more so than maybe he did. And Coach Saban switched up on him a little bit. Didn't try to mix and match substitute against every formation that Lane ran out there. Just played not entirely a base, but just simplified things defensively for those guys. Said, my athletes this year are better than your athletes, and got after them. So, yeah, I didn't know. I had no idea, as you say, why Big Al was running around in a popcorn box until after the game. But I think Lane invited some of that, and I don't know that Nick discouraged it. I think he's always confident, but and then we're still in a transitional phase for people. Cole, as much as people loved that game last year, they didn't get to attend it. You know, they didn't get to have 100,000 people in there. And so this is the first time in Tuscaloosa for that. So, and, you know, taking nothing away from Mercer and Southern Miss, but the first SEC game in a long time, a really long time. So, I think people are still transitioning back to that, and they want it to be something extra. You know, they want it to be the big game. And Alabama had the big, you know, that very exciting, not a perfect game, but a very exciting game against Florida. And, you know, the game last year was high scoring, you know, and Ole Miss had been high scoring against three opponents this year that are not Alabama defensively, but were reasonable names, Louisville and Tulane at least. And so, sure, people were excited. I didn't have a problem with it, but, you know, as you say, I've been around that relationship for 7 years now between Nick and Lane. And so I wasn't going to go over the top with it too much.
Sure.
But I think he wanted that.
I feel like that was kind of top to bottom in the SEC Saturday, Cecil, because you had, you know, Georgia, that Clemson game was neutral site. So that was really the first one that they were able to get amped up about in a long time there in Athens. You know, Kentucky, Missouri game, yes, but Florida was, you knew that was going to be a different deal there at Kroger Field. You know, A&M played Arkansas on a neutral site. So that was kind of their first chance to really ramp it up. LSU played out at UCLA. That was their first chance to really sort of ramp it up there. It was kind of the whole slate was really first time for a lot of these cathedrals of college football, you know, to be able to get their congregation back in and celebrate what those stadiums, those venues can be. And I know that was the case in Tuscaloosa, even though I wasn't able to be there. It obviously projected that on television when I was able to watch it. So
I'd say the two times before this week were Alabama and Gainesville, which was really rocking. I mean, really a great atmosphere. And then, although it wasn't technically a conference game, I think Texas at Arkansas. You know, I think Arkansas, that's a long time rivalry.
Yeah.
I think Arkansas got fired up for that. But yeah, I agree for the most part. That Florida, Kentucky, that's a 30-year streak that went out the window. LSU, Auburn, that's a 20-year streak that went out the window. So those were, I felt like I got to see, because Alabama played early, relatively early afternoon kick. I thought those were both great games and great atmospheres. You know, Kentucky just picked up $250,000 for storming the field. So I don't blame them. They hadn't beaten Florida in 30 years. So as long as everybody's safe, then athletic director stroked the check. He's glad to do it. But I thought that was part of Auburn coming back in that atmosphere, I thought that was really quality stuff. I really did.
Visiting with
Georgia, I'm sure Athens was the same. It just wasn't a great competitive game.
Absolutely, yeah. Cecil Hurd, Tuscaloosa News, joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. I want to go to the other side of the ball with Alabama, and you're having a chance to talk to Pete a couple of times this year. I love hearing what he says about his group and his team. And when I watch him, I know he's been a little bit banged up, but I feel like one guy that is playing pretty good football that not many people talk about is DeMarco Helms. And, it's when we saw him in practice, he was wearing a black jersey. And, I understand that he hasn't been 100% healthy, and that definitely holds you back, especially with the way Alabama practices, not being able to get those kind of reps. But where do you think that staff is just on his play and then really on the secondary's play as a whole this year?
Yeah, I think they're high on DeMarco. I think they feel like he's played really well. So from that standpoint, he's one of those guys. And Alabama secondary has them that you don't hear about, and all of a sudden you hear about, and they're playing well. Whether Job's career has gone sort of in that way. Now there have been some. Obviously, there was Sertan, who I could have told you the day he signed in high school he'd be an NFL player. But I think it's developing. They've got a lot of players back there. I mean, they've got a lot of athletes. That's why they don't have to rush guys. They don't have to stick Kool-Aid out there, against somebody's best receiver. He's got time to develop. The open field tackling was better against Ole Miss, I will say that. And the coverage was good. And as you know, with any defense, the more you can get up front, then the better off, the more that helps your bad guys and don't have to cover. They did not sack Matt Corral a lot, but I thought they disrupted his rhythm. I thought they did. Mathis, I thought, had another really solid game, the advantage of the six-year guy. Tim Smith, is a load in the middle. And then you've got to cope with Anderson, obviously. And so I thought they got Matt, who's a very good quarterback, and I thought they got him off his timing.
Yeah, I think Tim's coming around, and Mathis is just having a great year, just in general. He really is having a nice year for Alabama. Cecil, we really do appreciate – go ahead.
Yeah, Phil had just, graduated out 2 years ago. I'm going to be honest about it. You wouldn't remember much about his career. But last year, and especially this year, the decision to stick around, play that extra year for Brian Robinson. Think about this team, for Brian Robinson and Phil Mathis. Those are integral parts of the team who wouldn't have been here. And there's nothing good about Kobe. Please don't misinterpret my statement. But guys who are mature and older, and just look at them physically. And so that's two big contributors to this team.
Cecil, it's one thing that makes this team pretty cool, and I think also with that would be a guy, Cam Latu, completely changing positions and then having to have a new coordinator after he changes positions and then having success. There's not a ton of those stories with Nick Saban-led Alabama teams because, I mean, the blueprint. It's five-star recruit comes in, he plays a couple years, he leaves early, he gets drafted. And then the next guy comes in behind him, plays a couple years, leaves early, gets drafted. There's just not a ton of those developmental stories, and I appreciate you bringing them up because I think it's really cool that those are sort of still around with Nick Saban and some of these Alabama teams.
Yeah, more than people suspect. Like you said, people see, the most obvious one being Bryce. Two of the left, Mac came in, and then now Bryce has come in. But there's some guys that, and Alabama fans aren't patient. There's some guys that if you take your time, and they're going to come along. And those are two really good examples, I think.
Cecil, thanks for the time, man. Great catching up with you, and look forward to doing it again soon.
Thanks a lot, Cole.
Yes, sir. Cecil Hurd of the Tuscaloosa News joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Carefully brewed with the clean, crisp taste. When there's fun, Bud Light is there. Cecil, obviously, you can follow him on Twitter, at Cecil Hurd. Find his work at TuscaloosaNews.com. Always great catching up with him. One of the best when it comes to covering Alabama, really all time, in my opinion. So we'll get to a break, come back. Bama not the only team dealing with some injury issues. We'll discuss another one that could be very impactful for this weekend right after the break. Welcome back in. McElroy and Kubik in the morning. Greg not with us today. He'll be back later this week. Everything is good. Just not going to be around today. Even though folks have called in.
Hey, talk to him.
To talk to him. Hey, but has not been here the entire show, actually.
Delivered messages.
They've been getting them out there. Greg would like to tell you, even though he's not here, about Crocker Moving Services, a local company owned by an Iraq War veteran, Eric Crocker. Crocker believes in hiring movers that you can trust. They complete full background checks and run drug tests on every single employee. Good guys that you can trust in your home, around your family as well. Whether you need your whole home packed, moved, or your company headquarters moved across the country. Maybe you just want them to come rearrange your living room. Those guys have you covered. They do deliveries for furniture, etc., that you've purchased if you need to get them to your house. Call or visit them online today for a free quote. Website's CrockerMovingServices.com. That's CrockerMovingServices.com. Support your veterans by choosing Crocker Moving Services for your next move. All right, so we talked some Alabama with Cecil Hurd, and that's not the only team that's having some injury issues. We mentioned with Seth Emerson yesterday that this JT Daniels thing is a little bit quirkier than some of us, I think, have given credit to or have acknowledged. This is Kirby Smart yesterday on JT Daniels' status heading into the Auburn game.
As far as JT, you know, he's not going to do anything today. He'll be out. He's practicing. He's doing everything but throwing. And then we'll see how it goes, you know, day to day. I mean, the biggest thing is he's got to rest and recover and try to heal. So we're very hopeful that he'll be able to go Tuesday, Wednesday and be able to throw and like he was able to do last week some days. But he's not going to do much today in terms of throwing. But there's a lot more to quarterback than just throwing the ball. And he does a lot of that stuff well, and he'll still do all those things today.
This is when I wish Greg was here. Can you practice if you're a quarterback and you can't throw? Right. I know you can be at practice, but can you practice? We're talking about practice.
Practice. Not a game.
Can you practice? Can you practice quarterback if you can't throw?
There would be no purpose.
I know you can be at practice, but can you practice quarterback if you cannot throw the ball?
Hey, can't throw the ball.
I know there's a lot that goes into it. I talked about when we came back that Monday after we had the Mercer Alabama game, how cool it was to see Jalen Milrow. He was standing, you know, 8-9 yards back behind Bryce Young, and he would literally go through his reads, like if it was an option play or if it was, you know, he'd like hand the mesh and he would mirror that. He would go through his progressions. You could see him. So I understand there are things you can do, but can you practice as a quarterback if you can't throw?
Like, it would serve no purpose.
Next, we're going to have a kicker who's injured that says, well, he's at practice. He's practicing, but he can't kick. What do you do?
Watch.
I don't know. I don't feel like attending is practicing.
Yeah, at all.
So, I don't know.
At all.
But that's quarterbacks, man. They're a whole different thing. Kickers are way out there, and then next is quarterbacks.
Right there
with them. They do their own little thing.
Man.
The amount of jealousy that I used to have for quarterbacks in fall camp when they're over there just doing like their little hip wiggle drill.
Not much sweat
and they're
involved.
Just like, they're, you know, they're getting warmed up, just throwing like 10 yards apart. I'm just thinking, man, that is living right there.
Must be nice.
That is living. All right, we're going to go back to some of the games over the weekend and get into those next on Mac and Cube.